Good evening. I'm John Sestina. Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. And with me tonight, Cole Hammack. And we have Stephen Lucan and Craig Konstantinovich, both certified financial planners. Good evening, all.
Good evening.
Evening, John.
Nice, beautiful day and some economic news. And Stephen, you had an interesting
visit. Well, sun's
out
for a few more hours.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just can't. I'm just so fearful of this two-minute panic that's going to take
place.
You're
going to take a nap?
I don't know what. Have a speed nap. You're going to have to take a speed nap. You know, the whole world's going to end in over 2 minutes of this thing. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I find it humorous that they tell you, everyone look at the solar eclipse, but don't look at it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
They're showing you how to make a cardboard box into a viewer. And, you know, they say, now get the glasses. Oh, by the way, all the glasses are sold out. It's unbelievable.
Well, they can save them. I guess the next one's in 7 years, and Columbus will actually have a better
view
of
it.
7 years? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, why bother? I thought it was 99.
You
know, I won't be around.
No, it's amazing. My wife, being a sixth grade science teacher, their school actually lets out at 2:32. So they're actually keeping the students longer on their first day of school so they can see the solar eclipse.
Oh, I'll bet the kids love that.
To them, it's going to be the norm. They're going to expect it the next day, too.
Yeah, they have to do the sun go out. Look here. They'll have a nice big switch on the side of the building, and the kids can say, ooh, really be impressive. Well, okay, we do get caught up in whatever's going on and blow it up way out of proportion.
Yeah.
But what else
is
going
on? Tis the season. Well, usually in this first segment, we talk about current economic news and reports from last week, and there's really nothing major last week in the economic world, more social world, but we'll stick to the economic side. So this week, there's going to be a jobless claims report, and maybe from the perspective of investing, right? People, you get a lot of questions. What's going to happen to the market and so forth? And I like to say drown out the noise, because there's a lot of social noise that's out there.
Right.
Focus on the fiscal policy, the economics of what is happening. And if you look at the earnings reports that are being reported or revealed, the companies are doing okay. They're doing well. They're exceeding expectations. That's what's driving the market. So as long as companies are still prospering, hold tight. Don't speculate on what may or may not happen.
Exactly, because you can't. I mean, we did a show some years ago about all these exaggerated things to worry about, you know, that Korea's going to bomb us, that we're going into a depression, that da-da-da, all these little triggers that people get excited about. And when you look back over history, they have no real impact on what's going to happen. If you're doing a proper allocated, planned program, you should be okay.
And if you look 2 weeks ago, every media outlet 24/7 was all about North Korea.
Right.
Suddenly, you may get a 5-second blurb on it. Tomorrow, the president may mention it in his speech, apparently. But now, all of a sudden, North Korea nuclear weapons is not even
Russia,
an issue.
Russia.
Right. Yeah. That was 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
So again, just take everything with a grain of salt. And when it comes to your portfolio, hold tight. Ride the course. You'll be fine. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right. If you have proper allocation and good planning and you're shooting for enough, then you should be okay.
Yeah, certainly.
But Stephen, speaking of outside influence, you kind of had a interesting luncheon or meeting.
Yeah,
I went to a
luncheon this past week with Congressman Pat Tiberi. And the reason I went to it is, one, I wanted to hear what he was going to say, because his topics were fiduciary ruling and tax policy that's coming up. And so I was like, well, I wanted to hear what he had to say. And it was actually enlightening. He had a pretty good presentation. He talked a lot about the budget and how within the budget, there's a portion that Congress cannot cut. It's a fixed, and there's no adjustments to it.
What is it, their salaries?
He actually commented on that, and he said he pays $1,300 a month for his health insurance and so forth. He's like, he was a little agitated about the rim shots we all take towards our Congress about how they have better benefits. And he actually said it's not that much better than what you're dealing with. It's different, but he goes, I wouldn't say it's better, and I have the numbers to prove that, and I'll share it with anybody. So I was a little happy to hear he was open about that.
So did he talk about the 70% reimbursement they get?
He did not go in. I wish you were there then, because you certainly could ask that question. He was open for questions.
I know that their premium is X, but the fact is they set up, Obama signed in a thing a few years ago where they get roughly a 70% reimbursement for all their expenses, because when Obamacare went into play and they began to see how much it was going to cost, the staffs in particular of all the congresspeople, et cetera, began to scream, we can't afford that.
Go figure.
Go figure.
Yeah, welcome to our world.
Yeah, welcome to our world. So there is that little provision in there.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, what else did he have to say?
The one that was very disheartening is the Social Security issue that's coming up in year 2033, which is the year it's supposed to be bankrupt.
Yes.
It's been on the clock. Everyone knows this has been an issue for a good 10, 15, 20 years now. And he's basically saying that when that day comes, since nobody's been trying to fix it, everyone's going to get a 29% cut across the board with their benefits. So whether you're receiving the benefit or it's your projected benefit, everyone's going to get a 29% cut flat.
So what year is that?
2033.
And
I'll be 63.
Oh, you see? So you got
just
10 years
in time
to make up for it, Stephen.
Right.
How about you, Cole? You'll be...
I'll still be a baby yet.
Time to fix it, right?
Plenty of time to fix it.
That's scary, though, to think, because he basically said that if you think about if that actually comes to fruition, talk about a major recession.
Oh, yeah.
Because they talk about consumer pockets. They won't have money to spend, and that basically is a 30% cut in discretionary spending.
Can you imagine what will happen to the politicians if they let that happen in that year? What, you know, we're talking
that's
about
exactly
this Congress doing nothing. But imagine then those people voting at that period of time, what they're going to do, they'll hang them by their toenails.
Yeah. And that's part of his, it was a part of his message is that you're not allowed to make a hard decision anymore because you're not going to win, right? You're going to get blasted either way. And he says that that was part of his message too. Every time he makes a vote, he gets hate mail across the board.
Oh, I'm sure.
Win or lose. And he'll get it from both sides on the same vote. And whether it's, you know, to the right or to the left, he gets hate mail on both sides. And he's like, he goes, that's what society is about right now. Everyone's wants to say something and it's extreme on each end. And you're seeing it all over the place.
Well, that's true. And you know, these comedians or someone will do on their television shows or whatever every now and then they'll read the tweets they get, you know, and here's a, you're a no good bum one, and then this show was terrible. Next tweet is, boy, that was the
fantastic
best I've ever seen. and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're in the public light, if you're a congressperson supposed to be doing a job, your focus shouldn't be on those tweets or those emails or those concerns. Your focus is on what's best for the country.
Right.
And so, you know, I guess I don't have too much sympathy for these guys because they're looking, when they're reading all this stuff, what are they looking for? Next election.
Right.
And so you just can't please everyone.
And the irony is that they say, oh, we vote based on our constituents.
Yeah, right.
It
doesn't look like that this year anyway,
no,
does it?
No.
For sure. So, well, good luck. I hope he does well. He's in the House, right? Yes, he's in the House.
Yep.
Great.
So it was a good speech and or talk and presentation. And the one thing with the Social Security was a little alarming, even though we know that's an issue. I knew about that 2033 for years. But the fact that it doesn't look like any fix or remedy is being even projected, it's not going to happen.
Right. Because we've talked about it before on the show. There's opportunities for some adjustments to the program, but there isn't a finite plan yet to say, here's the numbers. We're going to increase the amount that's taxable that we're going to collect those benefits off of by, you know, 20% in 10 years or adjust another payout strategy or whatever the case may be. So there's been a lot of talk.
Right. Simply adjusting the year you qualify by 2 years, I think, solves the problem.
Right.
So, well, we're up against a break. So when we come back, we're going to go a different twist from all that retirement and investment planning. We're going to deal a lot with various insurances and give you some tips. So you are listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Cole Hammack, Stephen Lucan, Craig Konstantinovich. Well, guys, this is a beautiful, beautiful day and interesting news with you going to see Representative T-Berry and enjoying some information there. But I thought it might be useful, you know, most people have some idea who I am, but I'm not sure, Craig, that they know anything about you. Why don't you give a little bit about your background before we move on?
Yeah. So I started back with the company back in 2013. Started off as everyone does as an intern. Had to work my way through the ranks, everything else. But I actually got introduced to financial planning. Stephen and I sat down for a lunch one day, and I started talking to him about my future education plans. And he says, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this personal financial planning? And I said, absolutely. He asked me why. And it was because at that point, my father had just passed away a few years ago. And to see the financial transition, it was seamless. All we had to worry about was the emotional aspect of it. And again, that's a big burden to bear at that point.
That's because your parents had a plan set
up. Exactly, exactly.
In the event something tragic happened, and unfortunately, that's what happened.
Right, right. And the writing was on the wall, everything else. So talked to Steven, figured out exactly what the next steps would be. I thought it was going to be school. Turns out it wasn't. It was going to a different kind of school. And just kept the ball rolling and, been working with the company now going on 5 years. So it's been a great opportunity here. And obviously participating in the radio show is a great way to reach other people that we may not sit down and talk to face to face or one on one. So,
wow, that's great. And you surely are a great asset. So
that was
great.
4 years ago we talked.
5 years ago.
5 years.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I'm getting old, John.
Old, man.
As long as these gray hairs don't pop in, I'll be all right.
You'll see. It's not long, Stephen. You're getting of the age. You're getting of the age. Well, we'd love to hear from you as well. So if you want to call us at 614-821-9886, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call with your question, even if it's not on the topic we're dealing with. So
I was going to say, Stephen, white hair or no hair, which one would you prefer?
Oh, lots of white hair. There's no doubt about it.
Stephen, take a look.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Well, best day of the month is the haircut.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about some insurance. And there was a topic we saw called Insurance Resolutions for 2017. And that gave us an idea of some points we ought to hit for the listeners so that they can prepare for their insurance planning. I was at a picnic a few weeks ago, and one of our listeners I met there, and she pointed out, you guys don't talk anything about insurance, especially property and casualty and all that sort of thing. And we have, but it's probably been years since we really hit the topic.
That's a good point.
So
mm-hmm.
Today we're probably going to at least put a little dent in it. Maybe we can finish it up next week. So let's start off with one of the first things you have to be concerned about if you're going to have homeowners insurance.
Well, what I would say, John, is what you always talked about is make sure you bring the insurance agent to the table.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you may have a financial planner, is the insurance agent the expert? Mm-hmm. You've got to review and contact your insurance agent on a regular basis, with at minimum once a year, and review everything.
Yeah. Getting a bill notice is not considered a contact, by the way.
Good
so.
Point.
It's like getting a brokerage statement. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So what do you like to start off with when the agent's on?
Yeah. When I reach out to an agent or talk to an agent for the first time, I basically say, look, it's probably been a while since you sat down, figured out what's going on with this person's life, looking at their coverage right now. If nothing's changed, is there any gaps or is there any improvements that you can see based on what you previously offered and what's now available? A lot
and
of times,
the reply is usually,
well, let's see, when did you guys sign up with this again?
Yeah.
So that's usually the first thing. And then they'll start to go into, okay, well, I see you don't have this discount, or I see you have this coverage as opposed to, whatever the case may be. And they start to go through things a little bit more. And very, very rarely, actually, will they actually turn around and ask the client at that point, well, what's changed since then?
Or the better question is, what do you have?
Exactly.
Right? When you're talking about home or auto insurance, just say, well, what do you have? What do we need to worry about? What are you going to insure?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to even the homeowner's insurance, do an inventory.
Yep.
Right? Make an inventory of your items. And if there's anything of higher value, let your agent know about it.
Because
it may not be protected under your normal standard policy. And so the inventory is critical.
Absolutely. Yep. One of the big things that I noticed, even talking with people, is gold coins or silver coins. Not to say you should go out and invest in all those by any means, but if you have them, make sure that may be something included on your policy. Rings, family heirlooms, even sports memorabilia. Mm-hmm. I have someone that has a sports card collection worth over $10,000 based on their values. No mention of it in their homeowner's policy whatsoever.
You have those jerseys insured, Stephen?
Nope.
Oh, give them all back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know how to do an inventory. There's three ways you can do it. One is you can pull out a pad and paper and write down each thing. You want to put down what it is. If you have some identifying number or a serial number or something like that, you want to be sure to list that. You want to put down what you paid for it, and maybe you can put down the estimated cost today. And then the second way is go around and take photographs of everything, and that should go along with the written one. And the third way is, with all of our cell phones and all the movie capabilities, walk around and videotape the place so that you have that as a representative inventory. So should you have a claim, then you can show it to the agency and make sure you get all that you're entitled to.
Yep.
And send the photos with this modern technology. Send the photos to the agent.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll show each room and then, oh, that's a basement. It's a finished basement. Maybe let's talk about the coverage. Is it a water backup issue and so forth? So
exactly.
Inventory is a critical point because it starts the conversation.
It definitely does. All right. So we're going to do a little bit of an inventory. What else should they do?
Actually read the policies.
What?
Knowledge is power.
Read the policies. Whoa. Okay, Cole.
I mean, it definitely helps to know what you have. You're not trying to make a blind claim on something you may not be covered for. Maybe there's an exclusion. But it's incredibly important to know what you have, insurance limits, deductibles, the exclusions, so you're well prepared if something were to happen.
And if one of the line items on the policy or declaration pages doesn't make sense?
Well, then you review that with your agent.
What does this mean?
Circle back.
Yeah.
And when we say read the policy, I mean, there's like 60 pages and a lot of it is fine. A lot of it was saying that they're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. But you want to at least be able to look at the schedules, make sure that what you think you have is covered, listed. We find all the time people have cars they don't own anymore or some other asset like that. So you want to look at the schedules, make sure that's all there, and the deductibles and the liabilities and so forth. Then, of course, as you all said, check with the agent.
Yep.
And one of the conversations I had is someone retired and moved to Florida, and we were talking about where they were living, and he spent money on a golf cart. I was like, wow, that's a pretty expensive golf cart. And he goes, yeah, well, we drive it everywhere. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, the community, everyone drives golf carts. I was like, is it insured? And it wasn't. So I was like, we need to get this insured because,
yes,
again, if someone hits you or you hit someone or something,
yep,
you need insurance. So sure enough, we had to just through conversation, you have to figure out what you have and then should you insure it or not.
Exactly right. So talk about it. Hopefully you have a planner who reviews this with you.
Mm-hmm.
We do that once a year with our clients. We go through all their property and casualty policies, because that's part of financial planning. Mm-hmm. You need to look at everything. It's comprehensive. It's not just looking at their mutual funds or their stock portfolio or whatever the case may be. Well, what's another thing you can do to improve your insurance position or something that you should do personally so that you can enhance your overall situation?
Quit smoking.
We all want to say it, but that's a tough one. Yeah, quit smoking.
Quit smoking, exactly right.
Yep, quit smoking. That helps the premium cost for life insurance, health insurance. And again, we think of property and casualty as being the primary insurances we're talking about right now. But for pretty much anything, you know, quitting smoking allows you to be qualified for better premium rates, for better policy coverage, and overall just, you know, better longevity. So
overall health. I mean, not only smoking, but lose weight. I mean,
yep,
that's important when you're talking about insurance premiums and so forth. So staying healthy and not having to go to the doctor because you're overweight or you're having issues. So taking care of your body is very, very important.
Yeah, so don't submit to the Cole diet of Wendy's 3 days a week.
Hey,
so
it is fantastic. I love it.
He's skinny as a rail. I'm
going
to switch to that diet. Here I am trying to be good, and I keep gaining weight. What the heck is this? Anyway, well, it's time for another break. When we come back, we'll pick up on some more insurance ideas. In the meantime, you're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. There's the cash register ringing for those who are listening and hopefully our clients. And I'm John Sestina. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy. If you want to join us, have a question about insurance or any other financial planning matter, please call us at 614-821-9886. Yes, sir, Stephen.
Why, just for the listeners out there, you can also listen to our podcast on iTunes.
Yes.
So if you missed the radio show, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or the 610 WTVN website, both available for listening later on in the day. So I was happy to hear my sister was visiting, and she said, I listened to the podcast on the way here.
Very
fantastic.
Good.
Fantastic.
Yes, indeed. Or they can go to our website, right?
Yeah.
ManagingToBeWealthy.com, and they can find a link there.
Correct.
Take them to the place. And they can also find on that website a place to write a question that can be asked of a planner, and somebody will get back to you with an answer. That's also where you can call our office at 614-326-3077, and you might want to schedule a time to visit with one of the planners. And, of course, it's a no obligation, and we'll send you a questionnaire in advance so that it's a productive meeting. We have something material to discuss to see whether or not we can be of service to you. So we're moving on here. But again, I think it's useful that the folks out there get to know you guys a little bit. So, Craig, it was thank you for sharing. And now, Cole Hammack, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I know before coming to Columbus, I was born, raised in good old Newark, Ohio.
Newark. So, all right.
Newark. So I know everyone around here knows, but that's about 45 minutes east, small city. Properly pronounced Newark, but everyone there, for whatever reason, likes to say Newark. It's, you know, it's kind of our thing.
Is that N-E-R-K, Newark? Or...
Yeah, it sure okay. is. All right. Yeah, I couldn't tell you why.
Teach their own.
Before coming to Columbus, I graduated from The Ohio State University in 2014 from Fisher College of Business before working in a box factory for a summer.
Good man.
Looking, I guess.
Doing whatever it takes, right?
Exactly. Yep. But to figure out what it is exactly that I wanted to do before one fateful afternoon, I sent an email to John Sestina here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And kind of scheduled a meeting, got to talk to the guys, got to sit down, and it seemed like something that I really wanted to be a part of.
Well, and we're glad you're a part of it because you surely are contributing, and you have a great future, Cole, so stick with it, brother.
Thank you.
We appreciate you here and in the office. Well, we're back to the insurance, and we're hitting some things that may sound a little silly sometimes, but just a reminder of things you should consider, whether it be your life insurance, your auto insurance, your home insurance, and so forth. And so what's another one, guys, that we might point out to folks?
This one is going to help you on two fronts. Improve your credit. Everyone thinks about, oh, okay, you know, I need my credit for the next mortgage, the next car that I have, to finance it, whatever the case may be. But actually, when you have a better credit history, you receive better premium ratings and actually are treated better by the insurance companies. So improving your credit helps you out both ways.
Oh, good. So they should all jump on all those free credit rating services. Check out your credit score.
Boy, always got to double check to make sure that free truly is free. But
talk about doing things that, you know, just because they can, they do. And so that's one of them. But yes, your credit score is important. So pay attention to that. Yep. That means you got to pay your bills on time. You know, I was shocked to see a report that said there were some substantial amount of young people who thought that if you didn't make a payment on your credit card, if you missed one, that improved your credit score.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's concerning.
You know, we worry about what we're covering here, and Bobby always reminds me that we should cover things that are fundamental because we deal with it all the time, so we kind of skip over some of the easy parts. Mm-hmm. But even the simpler things like that, you need to point out to people. So check your credit. Make sure you keep a good credit. That'll do you well in all your life. What's another one we should be watching out for, guys?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier about reviewing your stuff with your agent, but also review your coverage with your agent, such as your deductibles when it comes to your home and auto insurance. Ask them, what are my options, and review. They can do that on the fly with you. So, you know, review your coverage, ask what your deductibles are, and if the deductibles were adjusted higher or lower, how that would affect the premium.
And here's the other big thing, too. I know we keep talking about, okay, well, your current policy that's in place. Let's just say you have a bad experience or you aren't getting the service that you want. Shop around. Just because you go out and get a quote does not mean that you're going to obligate yourself to anything. And that way you can get information. You can send it to your current agent and say, look, I started shopping my information around or I started shopping my options around. Here's the quote that I received. Tell me what's good, what's bad. Can I improve my coverage to get to something similar? And all of a sudden you're pinning someone against themselves and you maintain the leverage there to put yourself in the best position.
No, and that's a great point. Great point. And that the other thing, too, is what you realize is based on that communication, are they a better agent or representative of you?
Exactly.
You? Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, a lot of our younger clients, they'll come to us with a property and casualty insurance policy that, you know, they're with that company because their parents were,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily because it's the best for them. So until you actually get out there, you're shopping around, you don't know what's available. You don't know what's out there.
So. Yeah,
exactly right. I mean, in all things, you should get second opinions.
Yep.
You know, I'm thinking of getting that knee cut. And so guess what? I'm going to get more than one opinion.
Yeah.
From more than one orthopedic surgeon.
Million dollar man.
And then I have to warn them right. that I never go somewhere that someone else has a knife and I don't. So make sure they're paying attention. Let's switch gears, though. What about life insurance? What are some things they ought to be aware of there?
Yeah. So with life insurance, the biggest thing with this is, when you have a policy that's out there, if there's anyone that stands to benefit from it, you need to make sure that they're aware of it. I can already think of right now, my mom had no idea that my dad had some small life insurance policy through work. So because she didn't know about it, it was in unsettled funds. So he's been passed away now for over 7 years, and there's still money that's outstanding that she stands to inherit that she had no idea about.
Wow.
And that goes back to the whole financial planning aspect of things.
Yeah.
Not only life insurance, but every account. Document what you have, where it's located, and let someone else know in case something happens that, hey, this is what we have.
Exactly right. And that's where right now we have something right now where we work with our existing clients and basically say, okay, we're going to have all the information, everything you can possibly provide. We're going to have a one-stop shop for it. So that way, if anything happens to you, you have a letter, you pass it to your loved ones, and you say, if something happens to me, one of the first things to do.
Call Craig.
I've got it all on lock for you.
He's got it all down there. That's exactly right. So, and that's why we, a client once gave me a plaque and it said, picky, picky, picky. And you know, I drive people nuts with that, but we gather together every scrap of information. I'm working with a client in another state and it's taken us 5 years to get all the data that's critical, but because we got the littlest piece of detail, we were able to make a substantial change in his financial plan that took him out of a stressful financial situation. And now he's in he's ahead on his cash flow situation.
That's beautiful.
But it was because of the data, and because in today's marketplace, when you're dealing with bankers, you can't imagine what they want. You know, what time did you, what did you do with the chewing gum wrapper that you had gum with at 11:32 yesterday? So you need to have that perfect information.
That sounds like a lot more than investing, John.
I know. It's a real pain, I'll tell you what. And another thing to do is, you know, all the insurance companies these days seem to have the apps or a website that you can go to. And go to that website or use their apps to track or see where you are. You can read the policies and see what's going on there. Because you need to know what's in those policies. And with the computers, the iPhones, and everything else that we have today, it's a lot easier to gather specifics about what you have. And if you don't know, getting that app may cause you to look at it. You know,
yep.
Especially
yep.
The young people that like to play on those phones.
2017.
I'm telling you what, you walk around and I keep thinking you're on elevators, you're in standing in restaurants, you're sitting at dinner, and everyone's sitting there looking at their cell phones. There are couples sitting and they're not talking to each other. They're playing on their cell phones.
No, they're texting each other, John.
I see. They're texting each other.
Yeah. We want to save the vocal cords.
It is absolutely so outrageous that these cell phones are what they've done to us. There's a lot of good, but I think there's a lot of bad. Well, when we come back, we're going to pick up and talk a little bit about how you can hit your auto insurance bill. Maybe you can reduce that a little bit. So join us after the break. You're listening to News Radio 610 WTV. This is Managing to Be Wealthy. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina. With me tonight, Craig Konstantinovich, Stephen Lucan, Certified Financial Planners, and Cole Hammack. So, Stephen, I think people may know a little bit about you, but you know, you're one of the managing partners. Why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Wow. Well, it's been a good 15 years now, John.
Oh, so, my goodness gracious.
It's scary to think, but 15 years ago, you sort of tricked me into this. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I fell in love with it. And learning what financial planning is all about has been fascinating, because you see how it impacts people's lives. You see from a company perspective about people growing and becoming financial planners. And that's one thing I appreciate. Your goal is to always say, I want to create a profession. Well, you've got a group of us that are here because of you. And we've got a client base and people that we help across the country. So, you know, I grew up in the hospitality industry and I always wanted to be self-employed. I never thought I'd be a financial planner, but I guess I still remind people the year 2001 after September 11th, I got laid off, our company went bankrupt. It was the best year of my life because I found what I feel was my purpose. And, you know, I don't work. I do what I love. And that's something I'm truly grateful for.
Yeah, it's an amazing profession because when you do it right, and you, as you say, our reward is seeing the clients succeed.
Yep.
Seeing the kids finish college and the houses that people have and retiring. And I go back to the gentleman who came up from Florida to see us a month or so ago.
Right.
And he had his brand new Jaguar, whatever it was, super duper califragilistic car that he let us drive.
That he earned and he could afford.
He could afford, and he was in full retirement, and it was just wonderful.
Yep.
And that's that is so self-fulfilling. We really love that.
It's incredibly gratifying to make a difference.
It is. You know, a lot of everyone out there is saying, well, gee, I want to make a difference in the world. We do, and it's really wonderful to see the results of it.
And that's what, go back to what some people know, we're doing a workshop every Monday now, and this second session is tomorrow. But that's why we do it, is everybody needs a financial plan.
Yes.
And we don't know. Some people shouldn't be paying a financial planner to do it. So if we can provide people the resource to educate themselves, just like the radio show here, that's the goal, is to make sure, give people little help. Things that weren't available 30 years ago, now it's here, and everyone has access to this information. So the more we can educate, the better off.
You bet. Well, let's see. I started educating at Ohio State University in 1960.
Wow.
I think it was eight.
60?
I think it was 1968, yes.
Was there an eclipse back then?
I don't think so. It wasn't quite 100 years, but I feel like it was 100 years ago. But it is. People do, if they know, if you give them full knowledge, and when we give full knowledge, that means you don't have someone speak to you in financies or insurances or legalese. If those people are talking to you like that, you should fire them, because you're the boss, and they need to communicate so that you can understand and make good decisions. So that's the purpose of a consultant, and hopefully that's what we're doing for our clients.
Well, and comprehensive. And that's why we're talking about property and casualty insurance. If someone's working with you and they say they're your financial planner and they've never brought up your property and casualty insurance,
or
they fail.
Or looked at your tax returns.
That's
a big F. Yeah. Or as my Bondo karate teacher would say, that's an F minus. So, well, let's move on to another one. Let's talk a little bit while we have a few minutes here to talk about how you might save a little bit of money on your auto insurance.
Yeah, and I know, Stephen, you had talked about, you know, consider the deductibles, revisit those. And again, the deductible is the amount that basically you have to pay out of pocket before the insurance company will pay a penny. A lot of people look at it and they say, oh, $500, that seems reasonable. But then also think back to, okay, well, the whole reason you have insurance is for those catastrophic things. You shouldn't be doing it for, oh, you know, a rock came up and, you know, put a small little dent in the side of my car. No, it should be for, I got into a serious accident, I'm okay, but my car's not. I need to get a new car.
Or you're not okay.
Or you're not okay. Right. Exactly right. So that's, again, that's the purpose of it. So don't file minimal claims. If you're only going to get a couple $100 from the insurance company, really start to evaluate the cost benefit of that. Because if you do make a claim, typically that means that your premium's going to go up. And if that does, was it really worth it just for a couple extra $100 that don't come out of your pocket? You know, that's what you always have to evaluate. And then the other piece to it, I know we talked about it earlier as well, but make sure you're getting all the discounts that you qualify for. You know, there could be anything from a good student to a safety course driver to, you know, whatever it may be. Sometimes all you have to do is go online and take a quick little quiz, 10 questions or less, and all of a sudden, boom, you qualify for another 10% discount or something.
And funny, the one thing I see very common on the auto insurance is towing and labor.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the towing charge, and people pay for it, and then you ask the question, well, do you use AAA? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, oh, yeah, we have AAA. Well, you're paying for two services.
Right, exactly.
Pick the best service and then pay for one, not two. And unfortunately, a lot of people overlook that with their auto insurance.
Well, it's a small thing, but it does bring out the facet of financial planning, which is there's a lot of overlap where people are spending more money for the same things. And so you synchronize, you filter, and you can save a little bit of money even here in paying attention to such things. Also, you want to get a discount, tell that student to get good grades.
Yep.
That's
right.
A big,
you got that right.
If you want to drive the car, you better get very, very good grades. That's a big one. Hopefully, you're working in a low-risk occupation. Mm-hmm. Is that us, Stephen? Are we in a low-risk
occupation? I think so.
I think
no
so.
Car chases.
No car chases. No, we're not racing on fire engines or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, and also consolidate your coverage. You see this in some commercials, which is correct. You should have where you can't have everything from one company, your auto, your home, your umbrella, have it all with one company. That might save you a little bit of money.
And the other thing, cheaper is not better.
Exactly.
Right? So
exactly.
You want low premiums, but don't say, I want the bare bones minimum, because you know what? That's when you're going to have bare bone minimum coverage. So make sure you have adequate coverage. It's not about the lowest premium, but make sure you understand what you're insured for and what you're not insured for.
Exactly right. So be aware of that. The other thing is, look at the car you would choose to drive.
Yeah.
I can't get that new Mercedes anymore.
No, you need to get that Beamer.
Oh, okay.
With the anti-lock brakes.
Like either that or that Bentley. That's the one for Cole.
There we go.
There we go.
Well, we're getting the signal, guys. So once again, if you have a question, you want to come to our office, call us at 614-326-3077 and arrange a complimentary meeting with one of our planners. We thank you for listening. You've been listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN.